Federal buildings, power plants, airports, seaports, and major landmarks are in a state of heightened alert. Congress considers legislation this week that gives the government new powers to track and prosecute terrorists, powers such as making telephone and internet surveillance easier. Last week, before the airstrikes began, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams asked a small group of Americans about the balance between feeling free and feeling safe.
It's hard to get the full range of opinions on such a complicated subject. So what I decided to do was this. Go to a place where smart people gather to think out complex problems for fun.
Go ahead. Okay, you can have my bishop. You cannot have my queen.
A chess club, a cramped storefront in Baltimore, where a wide range of people come together to strategize, to think two, three, four steps ahead in one of the world's oldest games.
What the heck? Check.
With that, I think I have to resign.
When this game was over, I sat down with three club members around an oak table with a checkered chess mat on top. We were here to talk about other games, other strategies, the decisions that governments make when suddenly the board looks different. Right now, to fight terrorism, Congress is considering several proposals, such as making it easier to detain a suspect without revealing evidence, granting more authority to government agencies to share information, and making it easier to search a home, tap a phone, or tap into a computer of a suspected terrorist. Before asking my guest about some of these issues, I asked them to introduce themselves.
I'm Mike Richards. I'm 43 years old from Potomac, Maryland. I'm a high school physics teacher.
I'm Nicole Buse. I'm 28 years old. I'm an HR manager for an employment service.
My name's Cliff Pugh. I'm 52 years old. And I'm a director of an after-school program, and I live in Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, thanks. And I thought I would start by asking you about some of the specific proposals that the Congress may vote on. First and foremost, do you think the government should have more power to wiretap phones in order to prevent future acts of terrorism? Anybody have a feeling about that one way or another?
I think that we have a lot of capabilities already in the law enforcement that I don't think that we need a lot of extra laws to make it easier on wiretapping. I understand that there's been situations in the past where it's been hard for the police officers to get the proper things to be able to, you know, do further investigation. But there's a lot of people in, you know, law enforcement that can misuse some of the power. And I just would hate to see that be something that would occur because we've made it a little bit easier to tap phones.
Michael Richards?
I am in favor of more ease of wiretapping because also if you, there's an awful lot of information they've now gleaned from computers they've gotten hold of and other sources of information. You know, this is the sort of stuff that we needed to have before they hit the World Trade Towers, and only now we're getting it afterwards. And I just have to wonder that if we had loosened the reins a little bit on our intelligence collecting people, if they could have possibly have gotten this information in advance and maybe avoided what happened in New York.
At what point, though, Michael, and this is a point raised by Associate Justice Andra Day O'Connor the other day, she said, at what point does the cost to civil liberties from new anti-terrorism law outweigh the added security? At what point does your life as an American lose some of its meaning because you've sacrificed these liberties in order to catch the terrorist?
A lot of these things, to be honest with you, my gut reaction is to chafe at the idea of some of these new ideas, but we are at war and things have to change for that. I used to be in the military and we always worried about fighting the last war. And I'm afraid right now we're trying to fight the last terrorist. I think we got to change the way we do things because the way we did it before just didn't work.
Clifford Pugh?
I guess we disagree on how you battle terrorism. I'm really not prepared to say that I'm ready to grant to this administration the type of powers that I've heard discussed. We've got to defend ourselves, certainly, but I think our best defense, if we're going to be a world power, a world leader, I believe that you have to change the way that you relate to the rest of the world. If America's going to be at war and I am at risk to a terrorist attack, then I think the way that you're going to save me is to change the mind of those people out there who want to blow up that building. That's how you're going to save me.
Mike, let me ask you to respond to this point. Let's imagine that somehow you have done some business with someone who is suspected of terrorist activity. they realize that you have this association, and now they want to go look at your tax returns. They want to go look at some other private confidential information.
Help themselves. Yeah, I think for the time that we are actively engaged in countering major terrorist organizations, I would have no trouble with them looking at my tax returns or anything else they want to look at if it would help them track these people down.
Cliff, I imagine that you would find this untenable.
Oh, yes, definitely. It seems to me that these aren't hypotheticals. We've just spent 50 years in the Cold War. You might find your tax returns examined. You might find your boss told about this. You might find it hard to keep your job. What if you gave money to Greenpeace last year and to a Green Party in Berlin, which also gave money, for example, or helped in feeding people in Sudan, and then had some sort of tenuous link with Osama bin Laden when he was in Sudan? Does this mean that the federal government should be examining your records? I say no.
Nicole?
I come from a family with police officers. I come from a family that's worked on the with the district attorney's office. So I've been around the law my entire life, and I've seen the good and I've seen the bad and I've seen the prejudice and I've seen the fair treatment. And it's all, you know, it's individual. That's why I say that we have to have some sort of boundaries. We have to have some sort of code. If we don't put some parameters around it, I think that we can get into all kinds of different matters of racial profiling, religious profiling, locking a lot of people up just because somebody didn't like the way they look or the way they believe or things like that. And that is not the American freedom way. And I think that by limiting our freedom, kind of caves in to exactly what the terrorists want.
Now, all of you are chess players, and I wanted to ask you to help me think two and three steps ahead. Michael Richards, I'm thinking to myself that if we were playing a game of chess, the smart thing to do would be to defend your most precious resource. Obviously, you want to defend your king, your queen. What is it that is our ultimate precious peace as Americans? Is it civil liberty?
Ultimately, it is our freedoms that is our most precious peace. But as any chess player will tell you, sometimes you have to sacrifice pieces in order to win the game. And although we're not going to sacrifice the king, you may have to sacrifice some of your lesser pieces in order to gain an advantage. And I suppose during this war, we are going to have to sacrifice not all of our civil liberties. See, I guess that would be the analogy, that if we sacrifice all of them, we've given up the king. But if we sacrifice the ones that I've heard talked about so far, well, now we've only given up a pawn or perhaps a rook or something. And if that ultimately leads to victory, then it is well worth it. With the idea that when the game's over, you get all your pieces back. You have all your freedoms back.
Well, I just want to say thanks to all of you for joining us here at the Black and White Chess Club. Michael Richards, Nicole Buse, Clifford Pugh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams, he visited the Black and White Chess Club in Baltimore last week.